It's Jeremy Warner flying solo most of this day, Lante down in St. Louis. But we're going to talk some Chicago sports now with Adam Harris from 670 The Score, who's joining us. And Adam, I hear we have some breaking news. Paul Konerko is an all-star. When's the fan voting for the AL? So justice is served for Paulie.
I guess so. He should not have had to go through all that, obviously. Yeah. I mean, you looked at his numbers compared to everyone else on that ballot, and it was ridiculous. So it's nice. He'll go. I was actually kind of thinking, I didn't even know, like, did he want to be an all-star? Or did he want just the time off? You know, he knows what it's like to be an all-star. Does he even care at this point?
Yeah, and with Paulie, you know, he lives in Arizona, and everyone's talking about him going home, which he would have gone home anyway because he would have taken the 3 days off. But, yeah, for a veteran like him, sometimes these guys just want the 3 days off.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, he can't come out and say it, but I bet you he would have been fine not being an all-star.
Well, he is an all-star, and he's having an all-star season. But these White Sox, I mean, you look at this lineup, and it's just so frustrating. I mean, with Adam Dunn, I know he gets all of it, but Alex Rios has been just as worthless. Are they ever going to turn it around, or are they what they are?
I think they are what they are. Something that I've been kind of thinking about this team the past couple weeks or so is not so much when they win. It's not like, oh, you know, the Sox won, good. Yeah. It's like, oh, they didn't lose. Right. And that's such a bad feeling for this team because that's not how this team was supposed to be coming into the season, obviously. They were supposed to take care of business. They were supposed to beat the Royals 2 out of 3 when they need to when they come to town. You know, it's a series in the middle of the season, so maybe it doesn't seem to mean as much to fans, but it's ridiculous. Don't lose to the Royals 2 out of 3 at home. You're not supposed to do that. And your offense looks like crap. They can't hit with runners in scoring position. I think they're 4 for the last 41 or 44 with runners in scoring position over the past few days, and it's getting really frustrating. And you mentioned Adam Dunn, and I know Alex Rios is a lot to blame too, but this is getting ridiculous because he doesn't even look close. I'm not a hitting coach. I'm not an expert. Seen a lot of baseball, watched a lot of baseball, played a lot of baseball, been around a lot of baseball, and I see that he's not even close to some of these pitches. He's missing these pitches by 6 inches on the outside corner. It's insane to me how he ever hit 40 home runs.
It seems like he's just guessing up there. And I know he said the other day in the clubhouse, I don't know anything about hitting mechanics. I think that might be your problem.
And it's because you can't fix something once you lose it. And I understand he's just the type of player, like people look at him as just this big oaf that goes up there and swings. You know, doesn't think, and that's how a lot of successful players have gone about their whole careers in the majors, to be honest with you. Yeah. But, you know, Adam needs to, I don't know, Ozzie said the other day that he's been hitting off tees and hitting off flips and all that, and, you know, he was like, so what? That doesn't really do anything. Ozzie's like, I can still do that stuff, and I'm not going to go out there and hit home runs. You know, I could frankly do it too. Adam Dunn is just one of the most perplexing things I've ever seen because I was all for the Sox getting him. I was all for the Cubs getting him.
Of course, it's 40 home runs a year. He's been doing it for the last 8 years. And Adam Harris of 670 The Score joining me, Jeremy Warner on the Tay and Jay Show. And Adam, I know Ozzie Guillen's getting some flack, but I don't blame Ozzie. I don't know what you do with this team. I mean, besides Vicieto being brought up, Diane Vicieto is tearing it up at AAA. I don't know what the answers are for this. I think this is a Kenny Williams, experiment gone wrong by getting Rios, getting Dunn, getting Jake Peavy. Those contracts are going to kill you.
Yeah, and if Vicieto, for the Sox fans out there that are banking on Vicieto and blaming all this, like, I want to see Vicieto, if you're a team that's relying on a guy like that to come up and, like, he's your savior, then you're in trouble. And it's the same goes for the fans that are talking about Brent Lillibridge like he's a savior. He's a three-day-a-week player and a nice substitute, and if he does that on a team and that's his role, then you have a good team. But if he's any more than that, then you don't have a good team. And what we're looking at is, I guess it's not a very good team, but the thing about it is they're only 4.5 out. You know, that's what's crazy. They're not a good team because you're watching baseball and you see that's not a good team. But on paper, this team is 4.5 out. And if you would have said this in the beginning of the year, they're 4.5 out now, you'd be like, oh, that's weird, but they're going to be fine. But you're watching this and you just can't see it. The only offense comes from Paul Konerko and that whole lineup. And that lineup's very good.
Yeah. And my problem with being 4.5 out, Adam, is I think that's almost a false sense of security because
right. You
think you don't have to change anything. I don't know if you trade Carlos Quinton. I know there's rumors out there, and you can bring up Vicieto, maybe get a better pitcher. But I just don't know what you can do with this team to make it better besides these current players just hitting their weight.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's these players doing what they were supposed to do. And you can't blow up a team that's 4.5 out.
Yeah.
So we talked about that earlier in the year. I know I mentioned it on the show that, you know, Kenny would maybe think about blowing him up if they were what, 10 out at one point,
right.
9 out, but now it's 4.5. Tonight it could be 3.5. You know, it's one of those things where you can't, it's on that edge, and you're waiting for the hitters to come around and do what they're supposed to do. The lineup is, you know, you look at tonight's lineup, the Skell second, they moved Dunn to the 4 spot, and Canerco's in the 3 spot. They're just not beating teams. There's a lot of parity with this Sox team. You know, they do their thing and they win a couple games and then they lose a couple games, and you can't get a judgment if they're, because they beat a good team and then they lose to a bad team and you have no clue. It's one of the most confusing things in the world that I've seen in baseball. You know, they've lost 7 and 13 in their division, right? 7 and 13. That's horrible. That's so ridiculous. And they haven't beaten the Twins yet. This is going to be a tough series. This four-game series could be the end of the White Sox this weekend.
Well, maybe that'll just end our misery. But we're talking with Adam Harris from 670 The Score. Things aren't any better. They're even worse on the north side of town, Adam. Cubs lose another close game, even for the Cubs. This just isn't very good.
No, they're bad. But I got to be honest with you. I've accepted that they're bad. And I'm having fun every three innings seeing Starlin Castro hit. And other than that, that's what I've left it up to. And let me tell you, Cub fans out there, if you want us to watch this team, go and do it with that attitude. Have fun watching that man hit, because he is fantastic. And he's the best prospect the Cubs have had since, I think, I don't know, ever, you know,
yeah.
Since I've been born, since I can remember. He's fantastic. He's legitimately good. His outs are line drives. So watching him hit, watching him dominate these pitchers, they still can't figure him out, that's fun. And you accept the rest of it just being bad. I knew going into that seventh inning yesterday that Kerry Wood was going to blow that game. You just knew it, and it wasn't a surprise when it happened. It was a surprise how it happened, but it wasn't a surprise when it happened. So just accept that they're done. Obviously, they're 18 under, but Starlin Castro is the one positive and the one thing Cub fans can hold on, because he is fantastic.
Well, and two guys that might not be on the team next year, Carlos Pena and Aramis Ramirez, Adam, are finally hitting, when it doesn't count anymore, pretty much, because like you said, they're 18 back. But that could up their trade value.
Right.
Do you see anything happening? I mean, I've heard they might become buyers. I heard Jim Hendry say, you know, we're going to wait and see where we're at, what's available. Would they actually go out and get another player to try, maybe not to compete this year, but compete next year, maybe re-sign Carlos Pena?
I've learned not to listen to what Jim Hendry really says to anybody. I think he does a great job at saying nothing but saying a bunch of words.
Yeah.
And when he says that that they're not going to be sellers, they're not going to do a fire sale, they have to wait and see, blah, blah, I think he's feeding a lot of that. This is just my personal opinion from up here, just the general feel of what's going on. I think that he's saying that to Ricketts, and Ricketts is like, hey, you know, you're the baseball guy. I put, you know, all my baseball faith in you. And that's trouble, because I've respected Jim Hendry for a while, and I think he's done a lot of great things. He's put together teams that have gone to the playoffs and gone one team that went on an extended run. I think he's a very smart baseball man. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
But Ricketts is now putting a lot of money, which is smart. He's putting a lot of money in scouting and a lot of money in the minor leagues right now. And that's coming from Hendry, so that's good. But I think Hendry is saying what he can, doing what he can to not say anything too drastic to keep his job.
Talking with Adam Harris, 670 The Score, does overnights with Les Grobstein. You can hear him from midnight to 5 a.m. And Adam, Jim Hendry, I feel like he's still going to be back next year. I know some people say that he's gone at the end of the year, but I think he's going to be back. I don't know what Tom Ricketts does, but this was mistakes 4 years ago. Is there anybody better that can come in here and change this? I don't know, but I think Jim Hendry's still going to be back.
Yeah, there's rumblings around, you know, just a few different GMs leaving and who might want to come here, you know, Washington's GM or even, you know, the Mets. And
would you want to come here?
Also.
Would you would Washington's GM want to come here? I mean, with all the contracts he'd still have to pay. I know there's some room coming up, but you still got Alfonso Soriano and Carlos Zambrano to pay for the next year, while Washington seems to have a bright future with Bryce Harper, and that team's playing pretty well.
Well, that's the thing. Every year, someone seems to want to come here. Even players, even owners, coaches, they always want to be involved with the Chicago Cubs organization. And I get it. It's a baseball-y thing. It's a very historic thing. They want to be the guy to do it. You know, they want to be on the team to do it. And people think that, oh, no, it's just a game or just money, and they don't get that. No, that's real. That is real here. The history here, players come here. They know what happens. Managers come here. They want to be the guy to do it, to win the World Series as a Chicago Cub involved anyway. So, yes, I think he would want to come here. It's the same reason the Ricketts bought the team. I mean, if I have to hear him say one more time, this is a dream come true, that phrase,
yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, because I'm sick of hearing that. It's great. It's a cool dream.
Yeah.
But, you know, now figure this team out. And if you don't know baseball, which you don't, get someone in here that is under you that can run Jim Hendry. Because Jim Hendry is running this team, the whole team. And that's not normally how it is. So there's no team baseball president. There's just the president, there's the owner, and then there's the GM. And there's normally a baseball president, and there's no one like that. So, yes, I think other GMs would want to come here. I don't think Hendry's going anywhere.
Talking with Adam Harris from 670, the Score, up in Chicago, does overnights with Les Grobstein from midnight to 5 a.m. And, Adam, I know you're a big NBA fan. Switching topics here. Darren Williams going to Europe. I thought players would go over there. I didn't expect maybe a Darren Williams. Do you see other guys, you know, following him? And would somebody like Derrick Rose do something like this?
I don't think Rose would, just personally, and how I feel what Rose is and what he wants to do. I really don't think he would. I think he would just work out here. But I think other guys, I mean, you throw enough money at someone and they're going to go. And these Europe teams are willing to throw a lot of money at these players, I think. I know there's rumblings that same team was going after Kobe Bryant. I know there were small rumblings like 3 years back or so that, hey, LeBron, here's $50 million a year to play in Europe. just the notion that number is being thrown out there even back then is insane to me. But after what I saw last year in the offseason, I don't think anything is too crazy in this NBA. And who knows, maybe the way this NBA's been going, maybe the lockout will be resolved tomorrow before the NFL one. But it's just basically, I think that other players could go. I don't think big names will, though. I think you'll see a lot of small names,
you know,
follow in Darren Williams' footsteps.
You know what we should see if there is a lockout for an entire year? Let's get the ABA back, and they can hire all these guys, and we can just have the NBA and see ABA for a year.
Well, I've always thought that if you put you and me, and this is my opinion at the beginning of the year, if you put you and me on the team on the court with LeBron and Wade and Bosh on any team in ever, that we would have won a championship. Now, that was proven to be wrong.
Right.
But, I mean, why not? I'll play with those guys if they
I'll
want
sign
me to
up
play.
For that. If they want a couple, I mean, I'm 5'9". I think you're a little shorter than me, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm shorter.
Yeah,
and we're both white.
Yeah, and you could be the point guard. I can be a bruising 5'9 power forward. I think we do pretty well. I mean,
probably do a little more damage down low than Chris Bosh does.
That's what I'm saying. I can throw my elbows around there and knock a few guys, I guess, in some places they don't want to get hit, because that's about where I get on Carlos Boozer or something.
Right, that's what I'm saying, dude. Just shoot the 15-footer just like he does. You know, you don't have to get down low to do that.
Right. Right. Well, it was a year ago, I think, tomorrow, Adam, that Adam Harris, 670, the Score, joining us, that LeBron made his decision. Looking back, I know all he's gotten so much flack for it, but was it the right decision?
No. I don't think it was the right decision for him. And, you know, I've been a LeBron supporter. Even when he made the decision, I'm like, okay, fine, go win your championship. I don't think it was the right basketball decision for him, and I thought going into it, because even if the Heat would have won this past year, they would have won it, and it would have been Wade's championship, and people would have still hated him. And as far as his basketball career goes, outside of what's going on the court, I think, like his legend, I think that coming to Chicago would have been his best decision. I think the Bulls would have won the championship if he came here, and it would have been his championship, and it would have been a completely different type of season. Rose would have had great numbers still, but, you know, LeBron would have been the man on that team, and I think they would have worked very, very well together. I think those two can complement each other very well. I think the Bulls would have won the championship, and it would have been LeBron's championship, and he would have been in Chicago in Michael's house, and it would have been great for it. I think this would have been the best decision.
In that way, Adam, I agree with you, because if it's just about winning championships, which, hey, if that's what it's all about, I'm all for it. But, yeah, like you said, in Miami, they're not his, and people are always going to look at it like that, even if he wins six or seven championships.
Now, if the NBA is never just about winning championships. Right. It's about how you win the championship.
Right, and with him, if he would have went to Chicago and won it, I think you know that would have been an unbelievable thing, and it would have been his. Even if he went to New York and struggled for 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
But say they get Amari and they get some of these guys, that would still be his. And no one could blame him for going to Chicago or New York out of Cleveland. It's just when you go to Miami and you play with two other superstars, people are just not going to like that, and they're not going to like you. And for his legend, I think it did take a big hit.
And they take this, it takes this attitude immediately, like what Wade was saying in the middle of the year, that we lost, so the world's happy now. Like, that's the type of stuff that starts generating from joining you against the world. And it's not you against the world like we're the underdog against the world. It's like you against the world is David and you're Goliath, and no one likes you.
Right. Well, Adam Harris, 670 The Score. You always join us talking to some Chicago. Give us some insight. Always appreciate it, man.
Anytime, anytime. Do your best, man. You're doing well.
Yeah, I'm doing my best Lawrence Holmes impression. I'm trying.
That's perfect, man. It's perfect. Just start talking comic books and high school football.
There we go. There we go. Well, Adam Harris, 670 The Score. You can follow him at Twitter, at aHarris670. Thanks, bud.
Thank you.
That's Adam Harris, 670 The Score. Always has some great insight. Got the open phone line for you guys, 217-359-2255, 359-2255. We're talking Darren Williams going to Europe. Do you think it's the right decision for him? Also, there's one good thing that's come out of this lockout, and I'll tell you what that is next. It's Tay and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM.